Tonight our message will come from Proverbs chapter 11. And we've talked about many things thus far. We've talked about the benefits of wisdom. We've even talked about how to be wise. But tonight when we look at this, we're going to compare the choices of wisdom versus the choices of folly. The choices of wisdom versus the choices of folly. Because you realize that by us going through the Bible, we would automatically think that if you're familiar with the Bible, one would automatically want to choose wisdom, because not only is the wisdom of the Bible, we're going to talk about it's from God, but Solomon asked God for wisdom, and Solomon got a wisdom from God that not only was biblical wisdom, but he got wisdom about plants. He had got wisdom about the ocean. He got wisdom about different things that the way life functions, and some of the information and writings of Solomon are not even recorded anymore. If they are recorded, we don't have access to it, but Solomon wrote books about things. But we still have some excerpts of the things that Solomon has put down, and I want to say that the choices of wisdom versus the choices of folly is something that we're going to deal with probably the rest of our lives. Sometimes the choices of folly are the very thing that causes families to break up. It causes people to lose inheritance. Causes people to have God to turn his back on them. Doesn't matter what people say. If God reveals himself as the one that if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. That's who he is. But I've seen that the choice of folly versus the choice of wisdom will make a person feel God's word is not important. And all they have to do is call themselves living a righteous life like an ungodly, ignorant man that I talked to today. Telling me that it doesn't matter about knowing and ever learning and learning, but you just go out and live it. You don't have to know that. I said, that's not what the Bible says. And these scriptures right here for us to learn too. Let's start it out right. Well, before I start it out, because I already feel warm. Let me see if there's anybody that's already read over this chapter. Anybody that's already read over this chapter tonight? You read over it, Rich? If you, and you and Stephanie, have you read over it as well? Randall? I want to have some idea. What have you seen in this chapter tonight, Rich, that you really want to bring to the table? Something I might not even have seen or thought about.
Well,
remember now, I'm recording. I need you to you speak in your man voice. <All right. laughs> Randall laughing.
I had the same impression that I had the last time, that a lot of this stuff, it should be obvious if a person thinks. But I guess it's not obvious to a lot of people because they don't think. You know, most people are they're focused on the wisdom of the world. They're focused on worldly things. You know, but that was my impression, and I think it really hit me too that each one of these comparisons stand alone. It's not like it's not like the chapter just flows, but you can really just stop on each one of these comparisons and really meditate on it, and it can stand alone within itself. So I guess that's my main impression.
Andrina?
What did you
grasp from this that, you know, you could bring to the table that I may not even have seen or something significant about this chapter?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Stephanie, are you on nothing too?
Yeah.
I guess I'll dig in there.
I'll just say one more thing. It's interesting that you mentioned that you were talking to a man
today.
I met a man today too who was supposed to be a preacher. He was just telling me how God just gives him a message and he takes it and runs with it and doesn't necessarily have to even be from the Bible, you know. And it just amazes me.
It angers me.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes?
No, it didn't.
Rich went down from his man voice, and he just kind of drifted down thinking about this man he said that he met that was a preacher, and he said he just gets a message, don't have to be biblical, and it, but it, he just takes it and run with it. And Rich was saying how when that happens, it amazes him, and I said it angers me. And I could just see Rich just kind of fading off thinking about that. But I plan to give my messages from God's eternal word, and I plan to give you the butt-naked word of God every time I come around. And if I'm wrong with it, I want to get it right and then go back and get all over myself for being wrong and keep telling what's right. That's how I want my lips to form. That's what I want my lips to say. I want my lips to be given God's word, unadulterated. I don't want to dress it up. I don't want to make it soft where it's hard. I don't want to make it hard where it's soft. I want to say it just like he did, and I want to be the kind of man like he told Ezekiel to be, warn the people from me. You see, because once the people are warned from God and they take heed, then they walk in all his blessings. But not before. Bless his everlasting name. The 11th chapter in the first verse of this says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. The comparison here is, when an individual is doing business and you got one balance to maybe weigh out the shekel or the weigh out the gold to determine how much something weighs, and you, I mean to say how much something is worth, and you go and you cheat. You change the scale. Change the adjustment on it like you paid full price. Or you change the price to make the person make pay more. That's deceit, and it's wicked, and it's ungodly. He says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, because that balance is supposed to be like a judgment. That balance represents judgment, what is right, what is equitable, that people can look at and see what a standard is. And so therefore, to take it and understand any standard of judgment that is perverted is an abomination to God. If it's an abomination to God when it comes to money and weight, what about when it comes to our ethics and the life that we live? It's an abomination, and it stinks to high heaven in God's sight. But he said a just weight is his delight. When you weigh something that is supposed to be 2 shekels, let it be 2 shekels. If it's supposed to be 1 shekel, let it be 1 shekel. Or 1 pound, or $2, or $3, whatever it is, let the weight be thus. And when it comes to God's eternal word, let his word be a just weight. If you are a liar, let the scale say you're a liar. If Rich Lee is a liar, if Tim Merritt's a liar, if Randall is a liar, let the weight be just. And let us go and repent. Lord, we lied. We were scared. We thought something was going to happen or whatever. We thought we were going to get the ticket or go to jail. We lied. We lied. And the scale or the balance says that we lied. We are wrong. We ask for your forgiveness that we never do that kind of folly again. A just weight is a delight. That's why God hates people perverting judgment, because the scale is just like God's word. And when you pervert it, it's something that God found to be abominable. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that pretty? Did that stand by itself? Well, pretty to me if it's not to you all, because I find too many false scales when it comes down to dealing with people, their friends, their family, and sometimes even if it's somebody black and they're a celebrity and they can do all kind of wickedness, and sometimes we people, they have a black skin, like, well, they just picking on him because he's black. No, he's wicked. With other people, I don't care about what other people do. We're talking about this one. We talk about the other ones later. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Verse number 2 says, when pride cometh, shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Do you see that? When you get swole, when you get pumped up, when your chest gets so big, it's bigger than the Incredible Hulk, then cometh shame. Now I'm not talking about you working out, you took your steroids and got big, or you worked out. I'm talking about when your chest is swole within yourself. You more than you should be. You can't listen to anybody give you wisdom. You can't listen to anybody give you knowledge. and it costs you everywhere you go. It costs you in your home. It costs you in the word. It costs you in your family. It costs you in the job. It costs you in your retirement. It costs you in your health. It costs you in the kingdom of God, because you think that you know. You, who is you? Everybody that does it, whether it's me, you, or anybody on the telephone, when pride cometh, that means yeast, just like yeast, when you swell up without having to wait to be who you are. Do you follow me now? The weight, pride, is when you swole up big, but your weight is soft like that yellow balloon right there. Is that a yellow balloon? That yellow balloon will not weigh as much as lead, but it's swole. It's swollen, right? The blue one is swollen. That's pride. It's nothing much to it. But it says, with the lowly cometh wisdom. When you pump yourself up to be so much, you get questioned and you see, and you find out you don't have the juice, or you don't have what you necessarily supposed to have, that's shame. You can't fulfill what you're supposed to. You've been elevated by yourself or somebody else to the level of incompetence, to the level of falling, and now your pride is showing you don't have the substance. But with the lowly is wisdom. The person that keeps himself lower, or carries himself lower than he is, when it comes time for him to be tested, he can shine like the light. Why? Because he's solid. He's got the weight. Whereas the other one, he's got size. He's swole up. But with the lowly is wisdom. Let me give you a case in point before I go to verse 3. In the eyes of everybody else, Jesus looked like he didn't have much weight. Tell the truth. Caiaphas looked like he had to wait. He was swole. He was big. Annas looked like he was big. He was swole. He had to wait. And guess who really had to wait? Who got up from the grave? Who walked around? Who did the earth quake for? It didn't quake for Caiaphas. Who did the sky get black for? It wasn't Annas. It got black for Jesus. Y'all don't want me to get over here and start talking about how much I love the word of God. And when it came down to Solomon, when they broke that little child of Solomon, and those two whores were talking about it with their child, and Solomon said, cut that baby in half and split it, and that other woman said, no, 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 and Solomon said, give her the baby, that's the mama, they saw that Solomon had weight. They said, we can't come to him with no balloon kind of talk, because he going to drop the doggone lid on it, and the balloon ain't going to hold it up. He had weight. Randall, don't answer me. Does your life have weight for God? Does your word have weight for God? Does your life, Rich, have weight? Does your life have weight for God? To everybody, including myself, does my life have weight, or is all the weight that I have inside of my pants and my shoes and in my shirt? If that's all the weight that you have no more, nothing else that a dog has. Because the dog gonna weigh a certain amount, am I right? But there should be a weight that we have that is so weighty and so powerful that God gets the glory out of it. I like God's word. You all liking it thus far, y'all? Is nothing traveling all right with you?
I love God's word.
It's all right with me too. Verse number 3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. If I were going to preach a topical sermon, I could preach a whole sermon out of that. What do you mean? When the Bible says the integrity of the upright, when it talks about that person that's got rightness, that person that's got wholeness, that person that's got truth about themselves, and it says that person is upright, it shall guide them. When you have a standard, we've talked about weights, we've talked about the good weight, the fat, the bad weight, we've talked about the lowly and the pride, that slides into the integrity. When that person has weight, when that person has integrity and have a standard about themselves, it'll guide them. So your standard will guide you when your emotions won't. Your standard will guide you in the truth when your emotion will not. When your emotion will fail you. Haven't you felt like sometimes jack slapping somebody, or pistol whipping them, or lying on them, or kicking them, or stomping them because of something they said, but the wisdom inside you said, I better not. Haven't you felt like saying something you shouldn't, or doing something that you shouldn't, and your standard said, I better not. Haven't you felt that there's a relationship? Sometimes you got problems in it and you want to do something you shouldn't, and your integrity says, I better not.
It says the integrity of the upright shall guide them. What's your integrity mark today? Is it God's word, or is it whatever they say on Oprah, or is it whatever our culture say? If you've got the integrity that Solomon is talking about that he got from God, it'll guide you. But the perverseness, the wickedness of transgressors shall destroy them. Why do you say that, Tim? Because what you are in your heart, your wickedness, your ungodliness, it will lead you or guide you into the paths of death. We've already talked about that in the chapters that have gone on before. Am I right about it? This dang pretty. Anybody want to say something on these first three verses? I mean, go ahead if you feel it. Not going to beg. Verse number 4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Do you see what he's saying? You can have a lot of money, but in the day of wrath, in the day, whether it's wrath from man, whether it's wrath from God, by the time it's gotten to the place that somebody did, as the young people say, break you off something. When the day comes, when it's time for vengeance, your riches don't do nothing to stop that wrath. They can take you and your riches. It says, riches profiteth not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivered from death. Do you understand that in the day of wrath, you may be slaughtered and killed? In the day of wrath? Killed. Slaughtered. But what did it say? It says, righteousness delivered from death. Oh, you really may die a physical death. Oh, but that man's daddy, talking about Solomon. Solomon's daddy said, yea, though I walk through, not stay in, through the valley of the shadows, not the substance, the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm walking through it, and I'm not all by myself. Yeah, you're with me. And then he says at the end of that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what that means? I ain't dead. I am not dead if I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Now, righteousness sometimes will prevent you from being killed in this land. But often righteousness will get you killed physically. He did it for Jesus, but he's alive. Well, I could go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and talk about it, but I'm not going to do that tonight. Somebody want to hear me talk about 1 Corinthians 15? They can go to the podcast. It's in the podcast, 1 Corinthians 15, and it's good. Not because I said it, because 1 Corinthians 15 is good. And it says, riches will not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. It'll keep you. It'll save you. It'll do the very thing that riches you think could do. But riches don't have the ability to keep you in the day of wrath, but righteousness does. Verse number 5 said, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Now that's a beautiful thing. Because sometimes people say, Tim just say wickedness all the time. Tim just always talk about wickedness. Well, that's what the Bible says. And I've already told you what page I'm on before you listen to me. If you're going to be my friend, if you're going to be my associate, if you do wickedness, it's wicked. And if I see it, and if I say it, don't get bent out of shape. It's the truth. If I do wickedness, you say it. If you don't say it, then you got a false balance. If you know it's wicked, and you won't say it. And if I have to say it myself, I did wickedly. And the Lord spared me to turn it around. Well, it says, righteousness of the perfect. I want you to all understand something. Solomon said the righteousness of the perfect or the mature shall direct his way. When you read in Romans chapter 3, you'll have people tell you there's none righteous. Well, then that scripture shouldn't be there. It said in the unrighteous. If you think that's something, roll back up. And you look at verse 1 where it says the just weight is his delight. Well, you want to think that an individual got a just weight and you think that he's doing and he's not being just himself? We better understand the scripture when it talks about righteous and when it talks about just. But it says the righteousness of the mature, the perfect, shall direct his way. Why? It's the same thing as the individual that's walking with the standard. It said, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Why is that? because the standard that he has chosen is a standard that's against God, and the standard that he's chosen is a standard that God has already cursed. It's a standard that God does not have favor with. It's a standard that's not built on solid ground. It's a standard that does not have the weight and the balance that God is pleased with. And therefore, his standard, his weight, his life, his direction are an abomination to God. No, he ain't going to stand. And I said it because I'm repeating what God's word had to say. Bless his everlasting name. Let me get the next verse. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Don't these kind of scriptures like this really kind of really show you something? When you think about those people that talk about nobody ever been righteous, nobody ever did right till Jesus came. This man is telling you that the way that God works and the way that things have been since I've been knowing how God is that the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors, notice that, a comparison, but the one that goes against God, the one that's unfaithful to God, and we're not just talking about people that's out in the world wicked, we're talking about people that knew of God. You don't transgress if you don't know what you're transgressing. I mean, not if you don't know, but unless you're going against the standard. And many times, the people that Solomon dealt with and lived with were the people that knew God's standard. But he said the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Don't you think that when he talks about they shall be taken in their own naughtiness, don't you think that his daddy told him how Saul chased him like a dog? Don't you think they knew how Saul tried to kill his daddy with the javelin twice? Don't you think they know he knew how Saul had messed up David's family with his wife and saw Saul's end? Don't you think he had heard about the different things that went on with Joab? Come on now, let's walk in these scriptures and pour this juice out and drench our clothes in it. Bless his mighty name forever. First number 8, let's skip number 7. It says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. It says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of just men perishes. I just read that twice because that motorcycle was, I didn't want it to mess up my thoughts. When a wicked man kicked the bucket, when a wicked man is no more, his expectation of all he wanted, all his dreams, all he thought that he had that was built up and built up in today, and he built up in this life is gone. He was living for the day. You can't tell me the wicked man was expecting the blessing and the pleasures of God, following God's word. Maybe he was not following God's word, he might have thought it. But the wicked man seeks his now, and when he dies, his expectation perish, and then the hope of the one that's just like him, of unjust men, it says, it does the same thing. It perishes. It's gone. And listen to this. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. The righteous man is often delivered out of trouble. Things he would get into, things that he would mess his life up with, things and decisions he would have went with. And you know what? He gets away from it sometimes and get away from doing it. And somebody stupid and wicked and don't pay attention, they go and do the very thing that the righteous man got away from, because the wicked man is not guided by integrity. He doesn't use the right weights and the right balances. And so therefore his life is already an abomination to the Lord. And by him being like that, what else is he going to do? He's a fool to start with. He doesn't value God's word. He's not upright. He's not just. He feels he's got his own thing going. And you know what happens? He lives like a fool, and he ends up having the results and the consequences of a fool. What do you mean, Tim? A righteous person. Let me use a woman. A righteous woman, sometimes she'll get away from a sorry, no good piece of man. It has nothing to do with him. She can smell that he ain't right. And I'm not talking about with your nose now. I'm talking about with that inner part. She knows he's no good. But do you know a foolish woman to go get him, lay up with him, feed him, take care of him? Even if he's got money, she cuts him loose because he's not right. He's not right. But another one, girl, you let him go? He got that job and that fine car. He got that. Girl, I'm going to be living in that house. I'm going to be up in there. Yeah, you might be up in there with 3 or 4 other women. Well, The righteous one get away from it. Same thing about a sorry man. You get a man that's following God. I don't care what that woman look like. I don't care what body part you like. Whether it's on the top of the body, if it's what she stand on her legs, if it's her face, if it's her head. I don't even care what it is. When you really got the right frame of mind and you're walking uprightly and you're doing like God say and you're righteous, you can be delivered from that trouble. You can be delivered out of a situation where this person is your friend and this person has gotten a start to get a piece of your heart. But you know what? You get away from it and guess what happened? The wicked man. A wicked man. Somebody don't know any better. Go and hook up with that woman, and you able to live many times to see what would have happened to you. Better we better be grateful to the Lord for things He protects us from, and learn what that prayer means. Lord, deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. I'm sorry, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Well, verse number 8 was read. Number 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. A person that pretends to be one thing. A godless, irreligious, profane piece of man or woman. They can destroy somebody with their mouth. Act like they're your friend. Get your information. Say stuff about you and just make things bad on you. But it says, through knowledge, the just shall be delivered. Do you understand that when a hypocrite runs his mouth, that often the just, discerning who a person is, discerning what's going on. The just, many times, the just can be delivered from what the wicked is doing. The just. You remember how many times they would come and do something to Jesus? You remember how one time they were going to do something to Paul? And what happened? They ended up getting ready to try to do something, and the word came, I think, from their nephew or something, and told Paul about it, and they let Paul down by a basket to protect Paul. You have people that's trying to be your friend. Case in point, look at Jesus. Look at what Judas tried to do with his mouth. Tried to destroy Jesus. Tried to destroy him with his hypocritical mouth. Because once Satan has entered Judas, and he knew he wasn't with Jesus anymore, he still tried to act like he was, and then he do it. Friend! Who I kiss. Hold him fast. A kiss like I'm your friend. The Bible tells you faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy is deceitful. I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this part right here. But it says about the hypocrite. His mouth can destroy his neighbor, but knowledge of the just, but through knowledge the just shall be delivered. What did Jesus do? Friend, you betray me with a kiss? Pilate, he told Pilate, you have no power over me. None. Except that which is given. Many times Paul was delivered while he was still in bondage. Peter was delivered while he was still in bondage. Yes, he was. One time a man was getting ready to kill himself. And Paul and Barnabas had been singing while they were locked up. And Paul said, man, don't even kill yourself. Don't even do it. We all here. We didn't run away. We were free while we were bound. You didn't know who we were. And through knowledge, through knowledge of what God had, the just was delivered. That man went and bound up, took Paul and cleaned him up, got his wounds done, and I said, sirs, what can I do to be saved? Because I want some of what y'all got there. If they ever quake for me believing in my God. Oh, I'm not teaching the book of Acts now. Verse number 10 says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. It says, when it goes well with the righteous. This man would know this. When things were going well with David, and Saul is saying his thousands, and David his 10,000s, many times the different enemies would be killed, enemies of the Lord. Everything was good. They was having peace. It says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices because those blessings come down just like it was coming on from the head. Like when the king would mess up, the people would mourn. And it says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting. When a person is tyrannical, when a person is wicked, there is joy. There is excitement. There's a woman in 1 Samuel, 1 chapter 25, 1 Samuel, the 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, named Abigail, when her wicked, nasty, stinking, haughty husband died. It didn't say she rejoiced, but you could tell she was happy. She ended up getting to marry the king. She got away from him. He was a fool. It's a beautiful thing to see that thing happen. And then you look. It says, verse number 11. By blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. By blessing of the upright, when praise is done by the upright, when evil speaking, good speaking is done by the upright, it says the city is exalted. When you're talking about being blessed, when you're talking about God's blessing coming on the city, the wonderful thing that happened is that the city is exalted by the blessings of God. But it says, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Often we don't realize how much detriment the wicked do. The wicked bring destruction. The wicked brings God's judgment. And it's done many times by their mouth. A person's mouth. They have a saying in the street. Don't let your mouth overload your backside. They don't say backside, but it's a truth in that. Your mouth can say more than your bottom can uphold, okay? It can do that. Your mouth can overload it. Not only can your mouth overload that, but sometimes you can say something with your mouth you can never take back, and it costs you. Well, verse number 11 is saying, your blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Blessings. Well speaking. By the things that has been done. Because blessing is not always just what God gives you. Sometimes it can be a blessing like Boaz gave. When he came through, he blessed the people. Speaking well to the people. And it says the city is exalted that way. But you let somebody have a lot of mouth that's wicked, that's in charge, it can bring the city down. I want you to understand that there's certain things that Bush can say right now that can cost us in America. Don't you think that he can't? Certain things Condoleezza Rice can say. Certain things ambassadors can say can cost people. Well, when it comes to the word of God, there are certain things that people can say that might hurt us. But if we walk in with God, we can be delivered. Listen to this. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. The individual that doesn't have the wisdom that they need, the individual that's lacking wisdom, you know what he feels about his neighbor? He despises him. He contempts him. He don't want to hear him. He don't want to be around him. I have relatives like that. I have relatives that are so void of wisdom that they don't want to have nothing to do with me. They are so wicked. They are so ungodly. They don't want to do what God has to say. And it says, he that is void of wisdom, he despises his neighbor. But a man of understanding, that person will hold his peace. But you find people that got too much to say, you find people that's wicked, let somebody come around with wisdom. I don't like him. I don't like her. They think they know everything. Let me tell you something. When you got something and you hate somebody, you despise somebody because they know something that you don't know, you could have learned. Why don't you shut up and let them teach you something? Why you got to always be ignorant? You don't have to always be ignorant. God's word is for all of us. Well, he says, he that is born of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Sometimes when you understand something, you're in the presence of a fool, you better just shut up. You better shut up because a fool not going to receive too much wisdom, but a man of understanding. Because there's a time when you can tell somebody something you know they don't understand. One, two questions that just about tell you where a person is sometimes. Then it says, verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit, guess what that person does? He concealeth a matter. A talebearer. Somebody going to tell all your business, Randall. Somebody going to make up some business on you and tell it. The Bible called that kind of person a talebearer. That person like the town crier. He's a slanderer. Randall did this. And Randall did that. And Deborah did this. And just cutting you down. But stuff that he can hold back. Stuff that's not done in public. Stuff that's not done in public, Rich. Stuff that I might know that you told me that's not in public. And I go put it on the web. Bring Rich Lee down. That's wicked. That's absolutely wicked. But it says, but he that is of a faithful spirit reconsidereth the matter. reach confide something in me. I keep it to myself, me and the Lord. We pray over it. That's the person that you're talking about with a faithful spirit. That's your friend. Your friend ain't trying to tear you down. Make your name to be less than none. Bless the Lord's name. And I'm going to tell you, somebody that does this. You watch pictures like Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. Many times they'll take a person's name through the mud. And yet, like those people don't have a life. Take it through the mud and ram it down other people's throat and in your face. And the Bible says that's the kind of stuff that a talebearer does. Listen to verse 14. When no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where there is no counsel, and the best counsel that an individual can get is God's eternal word. And where there is no counsel, the people fall. Look at this young generation out here shooting up each other. Look at this young generation taking drugs in their bodies and just doing all kind of things. Look at this young generation that will steal from each other, that will rob each other, and that will do all these kind of things to one another. It says where there is no counsel, the people fall. When you don't want to hear God's word, when you don't want to hear wisdom, it said they fall, but in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Many of us older guys don't have enough wisdom to give younger guys God's word like they need it. So they fall because they don't have it, and many times we don't even have it to give to them. But again, there are times when you have a wreck in a car. There are times when somebody do something to you. You need counseling. You want to go to them and go and take out a warrant, or you're going to do something and press charges and try to be compensated, and you don't have no counsel, no attorney, you don't know the system? You better get you some counsel. You break your leg. You don't want me to fix your leg, Randall. You better get you some counsel from somebody to know what they're doing there. X-ray and set that bone. I'll have you deformed. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Look at the next verse. 15. He that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. Let me tell you something. An individual that's going to go and co-sign for something for somebody, he's going to hurt himself. You're going to go co-sign for a stranger? That's mischief to you. You can't go and co-sign for somebody. Come on, man. I need you to co-sign for this on the stream. I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to need you to co-sign to help me get this car. You don't know nothing about him. You don't go co-signing for people. You'll pay for it. You're going to end up being hurt. But an individual that despises and it becomes an enemy of co-signing this stuff for somebody, that person himself keeps himself clear. He keeps himself where he can just trust and be confident in his own life. You don't co-sign it for somebody. You sign for yourself. Then we're going to get on something about the women. Here's straight up about women. Listen to 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. How does that sound to you? Rich, what you think about that verse right there? What you got?
For the first thing, I was just thinking that my first impression is that one could probably, reverse the gender in that. I think anybody that's gracious would attain honor, and I guess anybody that's conniving enough, wise in the ways of the world, could get the riches too. So I don't. Although this mentions a woman specifically. In the first part and then the man, I think that it's really talking about principles that are not necessarily gender specific.
Now what you want to look at is when you deal with stuff like this in this passage, where it says a gracious woman retaineth honor and a strong man retaineth riches, a woman that is gracious, a woman that has favor, a woman that is about, you know, carrying herself in a way that she can maintain grace. Let me look up the word grace so you can get an idea of not just favor. Pleasant, well-favored, charm, and elegance. It says this woman, that word retaineth can mean gets as well as holds. This woman She can gain honor. And let me tell you something, a woman that gains honor in that society where Solomon lived, many times they got to marry the king. Many times you're protected. Many times you got what you need because you have retained honor and other people use their strength to benefit you. But at the same time, your words have weight. Your words have a good balance to it. A gracious woman returns honor. You're not treated like a whore. You're not treated like a slut. Men don't walk up to you like, girl, I can sop you up with a biscuit. You don't have men come to you, girl, I just like what I see. You have men to treat you with honor, and you got to be, yes, ma'am. And you get to be treated with honor. And it says, that's what you get. But the amazing thing is, it says a strong man is able to get riches. Or retain or keep his riches. That's an amazing thing. So you saying that a man is that strong? Or a man is, you know, kind of maybe a little bit mean or something? He can get his and he uses power or violence or striking terror or ruthless. He can maintain and get riches? Obviously so. But he's showing that one can get this by terror. And they can get it by the power of violence. But the other can get theirs by the way she conducts herself. Would to God women would decide I want honor. Would to God that women would decide I want to be respected. Would to God that they would have respect for themselves and not let we men run through them, make sure they're scattered all over the place. Would to God that we men would want honor more than riches. Because it seems like whatever a person chooses to get, here's the way to get it. You want to be wicked and get riches, you can do it by violence and wickedness. Now the Bible talks in the 19th Psalm Proverbs, how to get riches without doing it. And we've talked other places how to get riches without being wicked. But this is a way. You can't tell me gangsters don't get money. You can't tell me that. But do you want honor? Like Rich said, it's not gender specific. In other words, this passage is, but we men can get honor the same way. Verse number. Do you ladies want to say something on verse number 16? 17. The merciful man doeth good. Look at the comparison. The wicked man can retain and get riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. But the cruel troubleth his own flesh. Do you see that the wicked man is able to get riches? He still troubles his flesh. He still brings sorrow upon himself. But the man that doeth good, he does it to his own soul. He's able to benefit his own soul. He's able to do something for himself that's worthwhile. But what ends up happening many times is that we as men, we make our mind up that we're going to live in such a way that we make our mind up we're going to live in such a way that we're trying our best. Dollar, dollar, dollar. Just dollars. That's what we want. But when it comes to getting honor and integrity, we don't chase after it. We don't chase after it. But he says, the merciful man, the one who has compassion, that does good, he does it to his own soul. You would think that the merciful man is showing mercy to somebody else, right? Isn't that what mercy is? You're executing when you're showing mercy to somebody that don't deserve it or that they deserve worse. You're showing them mercy. And he says that man does it to his own soul. But then it says that the one that does it to his own soul, but he did his cruel trouble his own house. That's the parallel. You're doing cruel to somebody else, it's coming to you. You're being merciful and good to somebody, it's coming to you. It's your own soul that's weighed in the balance when you do these things. 18 said, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but he that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. Now, if you live long enough, you've seen people that we call slick. You've seen people you know that's a con. And it says, the wicked work a deceitful work. People will scheme to break in houses, scheme to decide we're going to do something to the government. They will scheme to do a wicked work. And the Bible says, I know this kind of stuff exists. Solomon said it. What's his name? Saul did a deceitful work. Come on in, David. Come on in. and he threw that javelin at him when he was playing that harp for him. He says, but righteousness shall be sure reward. I want you to understand this. When you live for God, your righteousness is going to be paid by him. 19 says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. The parallel here is that if an individual, if he's going to follow righteousness, it'll give him life. We're not just talking about breathing. We're already breathing to be able to do that. We're talking about higher life. Life in the presence of God. Life that God is pleased with. Life that gives him the ability to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. But he said the individual that pursued it, chased it with all his heart, if he pursue evil, he does it to his own death. You thought Saul, when you read First Samuel, was chasing David to kill him. But he ends up killing him, saying, now, didn't he do it? Isn't it amazing? This is the man David's son writing this. This thing is pretty, and I like it. Verse number 20 says, they that are froward, a perverse at heart, are an abomination to the Lord. Everything come out of your mouth, everything that you write, everything that your video says, every movie that you make, if it's coming from your heart and it's froward and it's perverse, you are an abomination to the Lord. I don't care if you do have the ability to make a TV show called Will and Grace. I don't care if you do have a show that you can put on with people and shack it up, a reality show. If that's coming from your heart and it's forward and it's perverse, or you a lying, forward, perverse person, you are an abomination to the Lord. But look at the comparison. The choice of the wise versus the choice of foolishness. But the upright in their way are his delight. His delight. Do you know what, Brandon, do you have any idea what it would be like if God just delighted in you? There's a man one time that God delighted in him, and he delighted in him so much. God said, whoever bless you, I'll bless them. And whoever curse you, I'll curse you. That man delighted God so much, Randall, that a king one time wanted to take his wife and have her in his harem, and God plagued the whole nation with disease. And when the man figured out it was God doing it, he sent him away and gave him riches. Then another king called Abimelech wanted this man's wife. And God came and told that man in the nighttime, you are but a dead man. And he wanted to know why. And God said, you got this man who I delight in, or you got this man's wife. And I tell you what, you're a dead man. He said, but I did it in my integrity. He said, that's my sister. And God said, he's a prophet. In other words, this man speaks for me. This man is the man that I'm with. This man is my delight. Now, if you ask him to pray for you, then, and only then, will I cut you some slack, the Tamaric version. It says, the forward in heart and abomination to the Lord, but such as upright in their way are his delight. That should be our ultimate goal, not riches, but to be God's delight. Verse number 21 says, and you can't do that through your emotion, your feelings, or rolling in the floor. You better have some knowledge and know what God wants. Bow that head, that in there for free. 21 says, though hand join hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. I don't care how many friends you got. I don't care how many people help you in your wickedness. Go hand join in hand. You're not going to go unpunished. But listen to this. But the seed of the righteous, let me talk about the righteous again, shall be delivered. Man, we got to train our children so that they can be delivered. We got to walk this walk so that our children can benefit. Do you see this? The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The righteous, his seed. You know that the righteous seed, if he wasn't righteous, his seed, his children wouldn't be delivered. The righteous do it God's way, and their children benefit. If your children can't benefit from your righteousness, then evidently you didn't have the righteousness for them at the time when they needed it. Bless the Lord's holy name. Listen at this. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. As a jewel of gold in a pig's nose, when it's rooting in the feces, in the slop, in whatever it is they feed in the hall, and that jewel in there is in the wrong place. It's not being treated right. When it says there's a jewel of gold and a swine snout, so is a fair, we talking about a fine woman without discretion. So is a woman that is cute. So is a woman that's shapely. So is a woman that got something going about herself. So is a woman like that without discretion, a whore, a slut. Don't know what, everything's funny, giggling. While people making these kind of crude remarks, making trial balloons to see if they can lay up with her. You look too good to be that stupid. That's what it's saying. You out of place. You ought to have something about yourself. Like some people say, get you some business about yourself. And the Bible says that's how out of place it is. Verse 23 says, the desire of the righteous is only good. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the fool or of the wicked is wrath. I slid that fool in there. Shouldn't have done that. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. When you live righteously, when your heart is set for God, your desire is good. You longing for, you wanting good, and God's going to reward that. But the expectation that the fool can look forward to is the wrath of God, the wrath of society, and the wrath of man. And folks still choose to walk in folly instead of choosing wisdom. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. Remember, let's unscrew this and open up the top, shake it out on the table and see what this means. There is a person that scattereth and gives, and he still has something. There is a person that scattereth his bread to somebody that's hungry. There is a person that scattereth and look out for somebody else. Now, there's a person that throws seeds on the ground, and it grows. There's that that scattereth, and there's that withholdeth more than his meat, but tendeth to poverty. How are you going to have a big crop if you don't plant anything? How? You plant 10 seeds, and you got 10 acres. And there are some that don't decide to benefit anybody else. I want to hold it all in myself. I earned it by myself. And it's mine, and ain't gonna help. And you withhold it more than me, and the Bible say it tendeth to poverty. Why is that? 25 said the liberal soul shall be made fat. That don't mean liberal like the way you vote, or liberal when it's talking about politicians. It's talking about the soul of the individual that has a good eye, an individual that's a blessing, an individual that has a good eye toward other people. That soul shall be made fat. He's going to have abundance. He's going to have prosperity. And he that watereth, look at this, he that watereth, like watering your plants, shall be watered also himself. He that tries to benefit others is going to be benefited himself. How many people do you know that never want to benefit anybody? Always looking out for themselves. Always wanting to hold stuff for themselves. Always wanting to get and not give. God said that individual can become the poverty, but the individual that give that person, that watering, that's what he's doing, consider it. He shall be watered himself. 26 says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse, but the blessing shall be upon him that selleth it. You trying to withhold the corn to take over. You don't let the price get real high. People starving. But you'll wait till it get real hard. Time get real bad. Maybe you can do like Joseph, get the land and stuff. The Bible said that individual that holds corn, that individual that holds back stuff, it said the people will curse him. If you got something you don't have to hoard and you're not going to give it away, sell some of it so somebody can benefit. That's what it said. Practical. Look out for the cares of others more than just loading up your own money, especially when these people got a need to live. Alrighty then, let's look at some more of this sweetest stuff. It says, but the people will curse one, and the blessing will be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But look at the opposite. He that seeketh mischief, it shall come upon him. An individual that seek good and seek God's wisdom is going to come, Rich. It's going to come. It's going to come just like the early and the latter rain. It's going to come. It's going to come like night follows day. It's going to come just like the winter follows the summer. I mean, the fall or the autumn. It's going to come. Keep seeking it. It's coming. But it says the individual that seek mischief is going to come. You want to go out and be a fool? You want to go out and act? You want to go out and harm people and stuff? Guess what? It's going to come on you too. It's going to come. You may not think you're seeking it for yourself, but this passage has said many times it is. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. On this recording, I want to make sure as we're recording that this is really heard. This passage reminds me of the rich young ruler. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. And Jesus was warning that man, keeping that man from a fall if that man would have listened. He that trusteth in his riches will fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Jesus was trying to give that man that which would have made him prosperous if he'd have sold all he had, or be at least been willing to sell all he had and follow Jesus. He would have flourished like a branch and would have been prosperous. But that man, I submit to you, unless he turned around, and I've heard no idea of him turning around, he fell because he trusted in uncertain riches. The uncertain, you know why the uncertain, Randall? You have a heart attack, how good is your riches? You get sick, how good is your riches? When you get ready to breathe your last breath, but you don't even know who the rich is going to be. Oh, but if you're righteous, and you know you're going to be with the Lord, then you're the one that has flourished. Listen to this. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The individual that troubleth his own house, he disturbs his own house. Sometimes it's a son. Sometimes it's a daughter. Sometimes it's the husband. Sometimes it's the wife. You trouble your own house, it said you're going to inherit the wind. You're going to inherit something with your own trouble. That means there's an inheritance for somebody that does that. You're going to end up with anger in your home. You're going to end up with agitation and patience. You're going to end up with discontentment. You're going to end up with a home full of hatred and strife. You're going to just end up with a big, nasty mess. Or sometimes I hear women say, a hot mess in your house. And it says, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. You hear people talking about, I want this person to be president. I want that person to be president. They're going to tax the rich. They're going to do so-and-so to the rich. Yeah, because you're jealous, because you didn't get yourself out there to make some money. You jealous and you're envious. But rest assured, if you're a fool and that person wise, he's still going to be over you. Some way or the other, you're going to be working for him because you don't have what it needs to run your own business. You don't have what it needs to be in charge. Look at what you got left after 20, 30 years of working in your life. You don't know what to do. You still going to be down. They're not going to make you equal because you don't operate on the same program in your mind. Bless the Lord's name. And when you're talking about being righteous, Saul troubled his own house. He troubled David with his son-in-law. He tried to kill Jonathan. He had a problem with his daughters. He troubled his own house. And you know what ended up happening? It was said, the fool shall be servant to the wise. You look at the end of Saul's life. How many times he had to tell David he was wise and he wasn't? And you look at how Saul had to go around many times trying to get with Samuel to try to get a blessing. It says the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. That individual that's got wisdom, you get the opportunity to help the fool. And many times the fool will end up being the one that actually worked for you or is up under you because he's foolish. And it's a sad thing. Verse 30 says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, not the tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If you are righteous, if you in God's word, people ought to be able to eat off of your life, get something from your life to give them life. You didn't just come to live and die like a dog and mean nothing. You didn't mean to come in and just live and make you some money and live and die and have you some women or have you some money. and that's it? You came here, God brought people here to glorify him. And it says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. All individuals that we can find in this world is a soul. And it says that individual that wins souls, that catches souls, that acquires souls, that is able to take a soul from death, that individual is wise. That individual is wise to be able to do that. That individual has to have a certain amount of wisdom to be able to do that. Because most people, they don't want to benefit themselves. They despise wisdom. They hate knowledge. We've already read these in these other chapters of Proverbs. Verse number 31 says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. The righteous shall be paid in the earth. And you want to know something else? So shall the wicked and the sinner. You want to be paid? You're going to be paid whether you're righteous or wicked. How do you want to live? How do you want to choose to be? You want to choose wisdom and walk after wisdom, or choose folly or walk after folly? This thing is full of things that should warn a person about wanting to be that way. Well, as we've come to the end of chapter 31, is there anybody that's got anything that they want to say on this passage?
You know, this is like they all are. It's beautiful. It just makes me think about just the Word of God itself and how precious it is, but yet to those that are wise in this world, the Word of God is not so precious. I mean, like, I think about, like, what you, the comment that you made in verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
My mind went to the widow with her mite.
Yeah.
She was willing to give it up. But I can see somebody, you know, that their materialness, even if they just had a little bit. Now, all I got is a little bit. I'm not going to give it up. But if God says give it up, you know, and I think about, I don't remember specifics, but I know there, you can probably tell me a passage. Is there a passage where, who was it, the woman and her son, and God just, told them, I think, just to take the water and take some water and some bread.
Yeah, they did it for Elijah.
Yeah, that was for Elijah.
That one, I think, was Elisha, and the woman had some cornbread for Elijah.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I guess my whole point is if it's material, people will want to hold on to it, as opposed to looking at this, that's really substance, but this is holding no weight in so many people's lives. You know, they just go with their fear. But the Word of God is a beautiful to me, and you do such a good job in bringing it up.
Thank you. Ladies?
Yes, sir.
What did you all get out of this, please? Or would you like to add?
I really enjoyed it. I think the first verse of this is was apropos for what follows. Because if you walk around with a false balance or a false sense of measurement or a false standard by which you measure things, these are the things that will follow you. These are the decisions you will make. You will be this wicked person. Your expectations won't be met. You'll reap what you sow. You'll be overthrown. And, you know, in having a just way, everything that's good will follow that. Whatever standard you're measuring everything by. Because we all have a standard that we measure things by. We just not all the time conscious of it.
Right.
But it affects our judgment, whether we think something is wicked or whether we just, it's okay and it should be permitted, whether we think it's okay to cheat people or to talk to people in an awful way or to beat people out of their money. We have a measurement by which we measure everything, a standard. And if we don't have the right standard, this chapter is really letting us know what will follow behind whatever if that measurement is not the Word of God, if that standard is not the Word of God, these things will follow. If it is, these things will follow. I think you did a good job on describing that.
Thank you. It just jumped out at me so much, and you know the way people make Jesus is like he don't have it's almost like he doesn't have a right balance, a judgment. They make him like he wishy washy, and I don't like it, and I resent it. Stephanie.
Hello.
Yes, Miss Stephanie.
Yes, I'm here.
Anything?
Nope.
Randall?
Nope.
Sir, we're doing a recording tonight on the 11th chapter of Proverbs, and we're just about to stop the recording, and I see that you heard a little bit of what we talked about. Did any of that strike a nerve or something inside of you a little bit?
Sure, but I know it all for
yourself. Oh, that's a powerful man right there.
I know it all for yourself.
It's all right. Well, we thank you for giving us beverages, and I appreciate everybody being with us again tonight. So, if the Lord's will, next week, Proverbs chapter 12,
yeah.
And we're a little over a third of the way doing another chapter of the Bible. So the Lord will, we're going to finish this chapter 12, and move on through the